In Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. That's roughly about 90 feet tall and about 9 feet across. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you for tonight. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I thank you for the people, Lord, that decided to come tonight, Lord. And, Lord, to hear your word, what you have for them. I pray that, Lord, your word will be an inspiration to them and help them, Lord. Help them to make the right decisions, Lord, this week. And may this teaching of your word help. I pray this in your name. You may be seated. Kind of the introduction here, we see the statue being built up. Now, Nebuchadnezzar knew at the time he's king of Babylon. And he of course, took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel captive from Jerusalem, from their home province. Now at this time, we see Pharaoh, he was the one kind of built all the pyramids and the Sphinx. Also Ramses at this time built a great statue of himself. A lot of other people at this time were erecting statues or monuments about themselves or to show how great they were. So you can kind of see why Nebuchadnezzar got the idea, hey, I'll build this giant image and I want people to worship it. In Daniel chapter 2, it talks that he was called the head of gold. When Daniel had interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel said that the head of the statue was Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. We see that Nebuchadnezzar, in every single passage, he was filled with pride in a lot of things he did. He was a very prideful thing. We know that pride cometh before the fall. Saddam Hussein, he fell, his statue was taken down. Pride will come before the fall. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 47, if you look at that, it's kind of funny. Did you drink out of this, or is this good? Good. All right. Let's make it sure. I didn't know. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 47 says, The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. Nebuchadnezzar's own word says that the Lord is king of kings, but he builds this giant statue and he commands other people to worship it. He had no integrity. He basically went back on basically what he said in making the king, the boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he prospered them because they were the fairest of the land. Now, like the offering with the meat before the idols, the children of Israel, they were offered before this giant statue. And we see the punishment for this is being thrown into a fiery furnace. Now the Chaldeans, they were the ones that, the magicians and the astrologers that Daniel was 10 times better than, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were 10 times better at. So we see later on in the passage that they were the ones that tried to get these guys into the fire and into trouble. Now, we know a couple things about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see that they were children in whom was no blemish. They're probably teenagers. Now, working with the teenagers over there at Clinton, I'm kind of getting to a teen mode where I kind of like to preach on teen subjects. So, you teenagers out there, I'm probably going to preach kind of at you a little. I'm preaching to everybody. But I like preaching at teens. I like yelling at them. It's great. It's a lot of fun. And you can get away with it. But, you know, I'm going to kind of go over some ingredients to making a good decision. To making a good decision, the right decision. Some key ingredients that we see in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life of how they came to this decision. See, we know them that they made this great decision, but kind of backtrack and see, okay, how did they come to this decision? It's one of the hardest things to do is to go against the grain, to go against what everybody else is doing in society. It's hard to be the one that sticks out like a sore thumb. It's hard to do that. It's very difficult if people know you as the Christian at work. You're singled out. You're singled out for what you wear, what you say, what you do. You're different. And it's hard to go against the grain. So we're going to see some ingredients and how they're able to go against the grain, but not just go against the grain, but how they're able to do it without hesitation. So first ingredient will be their experience. It will be their experience. See, this wasn't the first time that they've had to make a hard choice. They've made one before this, and it was a difficult one. Remember when Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 said, "And Daniel purposed in his heart"? Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were with Daniel when he did this. So they learned from Daniel's experience, their own experience. Not just experience from themselves, but experience from others. So the first ingredient is experience, not just from yourself, but from others. You're going to learn in life. You don't know everything. You don't know everything. You really don't know anything. I hate to break that to you, but you don't really know anything. Teenagers, of course. Talking to teenagers, remember. No, I'm kidding. But now, I have a coworker at work. He asked me, and his church is kind of a little farther away, but he asked me, he said, "Now, if you were going to buy a new car, or if you were going to have your car repaired, who would you go to?" And I said, "Probably my father-in-law. He's a mechanic, and he knows cars." He's like, "You wouldn't go to your preacher?" I'm like, "Probably not." I said, "Probably not." I said, "Maybe he does know a lot about cars, but, you know, he didn't open up his own shop and, you know, work on cars and things like that." You go to the right people for the right situations. And he thought, "Man, you just go to the preacher for everything. I guess if you wanted, you know, you don't do that if your baby needs a diaper changed. Hey, Pastor, you want to, you know, what do you think I should do about this situation here?" But he's not going to tell you that. There's different people that are going to have different teaching for you wherever you go in life. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 12, we'll look at this. It says, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fear, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. And now if it be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Now we see they were facing a different kind of situation than they did previously. There was a way to kind of get out of the last one. They were able to use wisdom and say, you know, just give us some vegetables and give us some water. And, you know, the king Nebuchadnezzar didn't know that they weren't going to eat of the meat. But they're in a different situation here. It's not like they can, you know, kind of bow halfway, you know, and kind of act like it. It was either you bow or you don't bow. Sometimes there will be no alternative but to disobey authority in order to obey God. I don't think you're going to find that here, praise God. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that here. But out in the world, you're going to face that. You're going to face that. My Uncle Jim, who's in the Army, he was promoted to a drill instructor. And, you know, he's the guy that yells at the troops, you know, says, get right, you know, push-ups down, give me 50. He was promoted to a drill sergeant, and the other drill sergeants noticed something about him when he was yelling and doing all that kind of stuff. He wouldn't swear. He wouldn't use cuss words. They kind of found that odd, and they told him, you need to do that. Well, kept on going, he never did. They demoted him. They demoted him because he wouldn't use cuss words. There are going to be some times where you're going to have to just say, hey, I can't. I'm not going to be able to. So first ingredient is experience. Learn from experience and using wisdom. Using wisdom. The second one is deciding in advance. Deciding in advance. Amen. Now, see, Daniel, he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart right here before the outside action showed it. We're going to look here. Here again, we see them making a stand in front of thousands of people for their God. But remember, this decision was already made ahead of time. Just like Daniel purposed in his heart not to eat of the king's meat, the three young men purposed not to bow down to the golden image. Now remember, if the prince of the eunuchs would have said, no, I'm not going to give you the pulse to eat, I'm not going to give you the water to drink, they would have had to disobey then. They would have had to say, hey, I'm not going to be able to. But you know, think about this quote here. If you can, maybe write it down somewhere. It is easier to make a tough decision in front of others if you have already made it before God. It's easier to make a tough decision in front of others if you've already made that decision before God. Modesty. Modesty is a hard issue. I know a lot of, and I feel for them, ladies, I don't even know how you do it. You got to be modest, and the world, they see that, and it's hard. They make fun of you. They're gonna laugh. They're gonna scorn because you're modest. Working on Sundays, some people, you know, it's hard. They're gonna say, well, why don't you work on Sundays? How about this? The music that you allow in your home, you know, what you allow on your TV. Some of these decisions you got to make ahead of time. You got to decide. And now I'm dropping the hammer. I am not swaying from this decision. Because you know what? When you get out into the world and you have not made up your mind, they're going to make up your mind for you. They're going to do it for you. They're going to say, hey, you know, the pressure will get to you. I guarantee it. You need to make those decisions in your heart ahead of time. You know where the best place to do that is? It's at the altar, right before God. It's right before God. That's why the altar is such an importance. It's death to self. It's death to self. It's deciding God, you know, it's your ways are worth more than whatever thousands of people think. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to do. That's what they had to do. They sacrificed their own life for what they believe. Not bowing down. Come on, you know, it's like just bow down, you know, and just say in your heart, you know, I still believe what I believe, but no. Their belief showed from the inside to the outside. So decide ahead of time. Number one is experience. Number two, decide in advance. Decide in advance. Number three, small decisions affect the big ones. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. One small decision. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. What's the big deal? He just stayed home. He didn't go off to war. He didn't do his job like he was supposed to. And what happened? What happened? He lost a child, the death of his own child, and he murdered someone. One small decision affected the rest of his life. Now open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, verse 7. We'll read down to verse 12. It says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out. He got him out. She hearkened on him day after day after day. But you see, the decision ahead of time was like, no, 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 no. The more you say no to sin, the easier it's going to get. The more you say yes to sin, the easier that will get. See, when you start making a right decision, it's easier to make another one because you know that it was the right thing to do. And God blesses doing the right thing. Now, it's the same with bad things. When you do something bad, now, unless you have the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin, you're going to be like, okay, well, that wasn't too bad. Let's just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And where are you going to fall? You're going to fall deeper and deeper into Satan's grasp, and your life is going to be a stronghold full of sin. So we see here, at first, it was experience. Experience helped their decision. Two, deciding ahead of time, before even meeting the problem. Number three, was small decisions affect the big ones. There'll be a time in your life where you have to stand up for Christ. There will be a time. Amen. Everybody here will face, not maybe exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go through, but you will face times where you either have to say yay or nay. Yes or no. What am I going to do? Some of you remember Columbine, the shooting in Colorado. Now, there was a young teenager there, a young teenage girl, if you recall, hearing this story, and I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what had happened. The shooters came through the school and went into the cafeterias, went through these classrooms. Now, one of the girls that was on the ground, right there standing around or sitting down, the shooter went up to her and said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? What did she do? Yes. He took her life. What would you have said? What would I have said? I'm just as guilty too. I don't know. I don't know until it boils down to that. I really don't know. You don't know until you're there. Number four, integrity. Integrity. Verse 16 and 18 of Daniel chapter 3. Verse 16 through 18 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I love this. They're like, I don't even have to think about it. We're not even going to bow down. He's like, because he gave them a second chance. He's like, maybe you guys didn't hear me. I don't know. Maybe you turn your hearing up. Your hearing aid, I don't know what you need to do. But you know what they said? I don't give a rip. Whatever. It's like, we already know what you're going to do. It's like, go ahead, throw us in. You're going to turn us into tater tots, better now than ever, right? You know, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, but they could have bowed and said to each other, we don't really mean it, but just to keep the peace, we'll bow. But not in our hearts. On the outside we will, but not in our hearts. That's called compromise. You might have heard of that. It's called a gray area. One of those, No. God deals with black and whites. I love that. You know, Job 2:9 says, then said his wife unto him, talking about Job, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Fourth point is integrity. In their case, when you squeezed the lemon, you got lemon juice. Under pressure, who they were on the outside showed up, or who they were on the inside showed up on the outside. What happens when you're squeezed? Maybe McDonald's comes out, I don't know. But integrity. Integrity is when your actions match up with your words. When your actions match up with your words. I'm going to read something here from Dwight D. Eisenhower. He said, "In order to be a leader, a man must have followers, and to have followers, a man must have their confidence. Hence, the supreme quality for a leader is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, no matter whether it is on a gang, a section gang, a football field, in an army, or in an office. If a man's associates find him guilty of being phony, if they find that he lacks forthright integrity, he will fail. His teachings and actions must square with each other. And the first great need, therefore, is integrity and high purpose." Dwight D. Eisenhower said that. They didn't second-guess their choice. They didn't stand over and go over to the fiery furnace, and, you know, they're about to come in. They look down. Can I change my mind here? It's a little hotter than I thought it would be. They didn't do that. They weren't wishy-washy. The Bible says, "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay." Now, what happens if we lose our integrity? What happens if we lose integrity? I'm going to read a story to you. And you might be able to figure out who this is, maybe not. It says, "Regrettably, we tend to forget the high influence value of integrity in the home. R.C. Sproul, in his book, Objections Answered, tells about a young Jewish boy who grew up in Germany many years ago. The lad had a profound sense of admiration for his father, who saw to that the life of the family revolved around the religious practices of their faith. The father led them to the synagogue faithfully. In his teen years, however, the boy's family was forced to move to another town in Germany. The town had no synagogue, only a Lutheran church. The life of the community revolved around the Lutheran church. All the best people belonged to it. Suddenly, the father announced to the family that they were all going to abandon their Jewish traditions and join the Lutheran church. When the stunned family asked why, the father explained that it would be good for his business. The youngster was bewildered and confused. His deep disappointment soon gave way to anger and a kind of intense bitterness that plagued him throughout his life. Later, he left Germany and went to England to study. Each day found him at the British Museum, formulating his ideas and composing a book. In that book, he introduced a whole new worldview and conceived a movement that was designed to change the world. He described religion as the opiate for the masses. He committed the people who followed him to life without God. His ideas became the norm for the governments for almost half the world's population. His name, Karl Marx, founder of the communist movement. The history of the 20th century and perhaps beyond was significantly affected because one father let his integrity become distorted." Don't lose your integrity. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Integrity. Integrity, integrity. Mother and father, let me stress this to you. Integrity is probably one of the biggest things the kid needs, that children need, is integrity. They need you to make a decision and stick to it. They need you to have standards and stick to them. They need you to come to church faithfully. They need to see that. Whenever I ask my dad, "Hey, can I go to my friend's church?" He'd be like, "No, you're going to my church." I'm like, but, you know, integrity. He was the same no matter what. We went to the same church, and, you know, what did that teach me? I'm going to church. I'm going to my home church no matter what. Now, I kind of have, like, two, so that's... maybe I shouldn't be preaching on that. I'm just kidding. Make decisions now what you will and will not compromise on. Learn from experience and from others. Make a decision before you have to make that decision. Learn integrity. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are known for making that one critical decision. And we see what does the Bible say about them. Let's look at verse 23. It says, "Well, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I love that. I love singing that song in my car really loud. I was talking about
Mama danced across the floor. I love that part. It's hilarious. I'm sorry. But I love that song, talking about the three Hebrew boys. And man, I start dancing my car. No, I can't. But probably the worst dancer in the world, you can ask my wife. I don't think I know how to, but I try. That's what counts. I'm kidding. Who are some other men in the Bible who made one decision, who we know about, who decided, and their one decision affected their life eternally? How about this? King Saul. One bad decision, and he was out of the Lord's will for the rest of his life. His crown was taken from him. How about this? Ananias and Sapphira. One bad decision, and they were history, literally. Moses smiting the rock. One burst of anger, and he was not allowed to go into the promised land. Now, he did a lot of things that were great before, but that one decision really hurt the rest of his life. What about Stephen? The decision to stand up for the truth and to proclaim the truth of God's word and not worrying about what everybody says about him. Queen Esther deciding to save the Jews. How about Esau selling his birthright? Esau made some pretty bad decisions. How about Cain? Cain and Abel. Another burst of anger. And his brother, he killed. Adam and Eve, one decision. And they're out of the Garden of Eden. What about today? What about today's sports people? What about the people in sports? The people that are respected in our culture. What about Tiger Woods? Have you heard about him recently in the news? How about Barry Bonds? Drug use. Kobe Bryant. I could keep naming and naming and naming. You hear about them in the news. One decision, their whole career, or I wouldn't say their career went down, but their integrity did. Now, how about this? Pastor Ross starting Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Pastor Ross starting Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He decided to do the Lord's will. And now what do we have? We have this church. Pastor Jerry deciding, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll pastor the church. And we wouldn't be here if we didn't have either of them. Now, God will not put you in impossible situations. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, if you want to turn there, you can. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, or trial, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God will never put you in a situation or a decision you have to make that is impossible. That's kind of nice to know, because it's nice to know that when you are going against the grain, when you are going against the crowd, that God will be with you. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and God is what was in the fire furnace with them, He will be with you no matter what. No matter the accusations from the world, no matter the health struggles that you have, no matter what happens, you got that peace of mind that, man, my problems are big, they're huge, but God's bigger, and He's with me. In the end, they were delivered, we see. However, what if they had not been delivered and would have died? What does it say? They say, if it be so, our God will deliver us. But what does it say? They also said, but if not, know this, O King, we're not going to bow down. I think God's telling me I'm done. I heard the quote, if you don't strike oil in 30 minutes, stop drilling. Now, I can't read my words here. I'll finish this up and we'll be done here. Making a decision isn't based on the end result, whether it will benefit you or not. It is based on if it pleases Christ or not. It's not based on, well, if I do this or that. It's not that what matters. It's what pleases Christ. I hope that you're making decisions here in life. I hope you've made some already where you've decided Christ. before your own. Let's pray. And I'll have Pastor Jerry here. Lord, thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for being able to preach, Lord. Thank you for learning from your word, Lord, and about integrity, about making decisions ahead of time. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible, from learning about these three men, Lord, about their integrity and, Lord, willing to go against the grain. We love you. Pray this in your name. Amen.